Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It is about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. And about moving to action, especially in this time, tomorrow, August 20th, starting at the Spokane Arena and moving down to the Spokane Regional Health District, a march to end the mandate. And I should say mandates because they seem to keep coming every day. Of course, illegally, unconstitutionally. This idea that the governor has power to make law. I don't know who keeps saying that, but if you say that, that's actually anti-American because it's only the legislature that can make law. And the governor actually only has power over the executive branch. So this extension to private schools and all this other stuff, he really doesn't have the power to do that constitutionally. In fact, he was never meant to, because in England, they had something called the Star Chambers, and their administrative arm got out of hand. And the American Republic said that should never happen again in America. So only the legislative branch can make laws. So, and the laws, by the way, have to be constitutional. Otherwise, they are pretend laws. As Chris Ann Hall would say, our good friend Chris Ann Hall. So today, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4 rings truer than ever. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. That's the gospel of the kingdom right there. Today, we now know that the pretender not only is unfit for office, but is on a path intentionally, and his handlers are. I mean, he's not, his handlers are telling him exactly what to say. He is on a path to try to destroy this great republic. There's just no question about it anymore. Nobody can really argue that if they are thinking critically. So critically thinking people in America understand what I am talking about. Those who are not, a.k.a. the Inslander, the Socialist Review, etc. They are part of a propaganda arm that spreads disinformation, misinformation, pretty much on a regular basis. I remember there was a series of articles that had very glaring errors. They were notified of those errors, had to correct them. And then you get their reports out that just patently cannot be true. We know this. And their attempts to label significant portions of the population racist or white nationalist, all those things, those are lies. Those are patent lies. Those are patent falsehoods. What they're really afraid of is this. And I want everybody out there listening to be very, very encouraged. There's been a lot of discouragement out there. Be encouraged. And here's why. The globalists have spent billions of dollars on propaganda and massive attempts to demoralize America and Christian patriots. Billions. And they have to spend that kind of money because what they're spreading are lies. But the truth is getting out. And less than half Americans have bought the jab lie, according to Gallup. So in other words, less than half of Americans are buying into this fear porn propaganda. And this is despite all of the money spent to convince them otherwise. Now, originally, the original plan was to take the United States down in 1976, 200th anniversary of 1776. They failed. They failed in 2016. They failed in 2022. And I'm saying it that way. They are failing. They will fail. So spread the truth. Real Americans are awake and rising up. Real Americans know that masks are asinine. It's like a chain link fence trying to stop a mosquito. Anybody that has had any experience in bioweapons knows this. And what's even more interesting is you see these clips on the legacy media, and these clips will show people in full overpressurization suits dealing with COVID in a lab. So if that's really the way to stop COVID, then masks are asinine and useless, and they know it. In addition to that, now you have over 12,000 deaths, according to the VAERS database, temporally associated with the COVID gene therapy vaccine for some people, but it's not. It's gene therapy. Okay, and it's mathematically impossible to stop COVID because there is an animal reservoir for COVID. Coronaviruses can exist in animals, and so there is no way physically possible you could wipe it out like smallpox. That's just a lie. It's a patent lie. And these guys are saying, oh, it's science. Okay, let's talk about the science of math. It's impossible. And oh, by the way, on any other normal vaccine / gene therapy, if it had killed 12,000 people temporarily associated with it, they would have taken it off the shelves. Why do they keep pushing this? Why is there intimidation and fear and bullying that is being used to push this if it's so good? Unless there's another agenda at work here. And I think most Americans are beginning to figure that out. And one more thing that I want to talk about is Christians. Like, how do we react? Well, there is a religious exemption out there. And if you go to a church, you should go to a church that's going to provide you with a religious exemption for the vaccine. There are plenty of resources out there. America's Frontline Doctors is taking a huge leading role in fighting this. Dr. Simone Gold. And as Christians, if we are using fear and intimidation and bullying against fellow Christians, then that's actually not Christian to do that to people, particularly when there is a 99.5% survival rate for the vast majority of Americans, over 95% for the rest, pretty much easily treated with a myriad of long-standing, long-used treatments, like, as Dr. Simone Gold said, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and there's even more than that now. So, is it not interesting that they are trying to do this now? And what are they trying to hide? And I want to get to what I think part of that is, and I talked about it earlier in the week. The last thing I want to mention before we get to the Daily Intelligence Brief is this. And I want you to pay attention to the Daily Intelligence Brief. I'm going to go through a lot of things you're not hearing in the news. You're going to want to hear these statistics because it'll help your decision-making here in the near future. But Sam Faddis had a great article in AND Magazine in regards to what is happening in Afghanistan. Because it's bigger than Afghanistan. But here's what he said. War, and this is a quote from another article too. War is a horrifying business. We ought never to enter into hostilities without careful deliberation and a clear-eyed appraisal of other options. War is not logical, precise, antiseptic, or predictable. Very good men and women die and are maimed. Innocents who simply have the misfortune to be caught in the crossfire are victimized. Once war begins, however, there can only be one objective. There is no time for sentiment or half measures. It is the job of the U.S. military, once the fighting has begun, to kill people and break things. If that sounds harsh, it is. It is ugly and nasty and indispensable. The enemy is there to kill you. The enemy is there to win. You either destroy him and dictate terms, or you lose, end quote. And what he is trying to say there is we should not commit troops lightly overseas. And if we do commit them, they need to have a clear goal of winning and getting out. This nation-building idea in Iraq, Afghanistan, we know better. We know better. Twenty years, and they intentionally timed this to demoralize the United States on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And more than that, they're trying to repeat 1975 because they were trying to usher in a destruction of the United States, but they didn't succeed then, and they will not succeed now. Which brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. This is one of the things I believe that is being covered up by all the other events that are happening in the world. IMF governors approve, that's the International Monetary Fund, approve a historic $650 billion SDR allocation of special drawing rights. In other words, they are converting U.S. currency now into a one-world currency, $650 billion of it. That's huge, momentous shift. And they'll try to bankrupt currencies around the world and say, well, the only currency that's worth anything left is the SDR, and there's your one-world currency. You can read about this on the IMF.org website, okay? So this is coming from them. In case anybody tries to call that some sort of a guess or speculation. In addition to that, on the international front, I want to talk about some of the things that have been coming in from around the world. And I want to start with what I think is a very much underreported story out of Lebanon. Now, Lebanon has been in disarray for a very long time. But we got a report from some Christian missionary friends to On Fire Ministries. Quote, tonight Lebanon has officially, this was sent Sunday evening. Tonight, Lebanon has officially run out of fuel everywhere. Hospitals, universities, streets, homes, bakeries, pharmacies. The international community is still silent about the criminals who have left 5 million people starving in the dark. This is genocide and is to be treated as such. Please share to the maximum number of people. End quote. From Afghanistan, Christians and Christian pastors are receiving letters from the Taliban. Thousands are in hiding. There are reports of the Iranian military moving into northern Iraq and Kurdistan. Then I got a message from one of our missionary friends in Ethiopia talking about the TPLF rebels, which is a Sunni Muslim rebel group supported by Egypt that is disrupting Ethiopia right now. And what this very clearly looks like across the board is a jihadist push, an Islamist push into the fall all over the world. It's not just there, and their eye is on Europe. So it's a good thing that the French, the British, the Hungarians, the Poles, the Czechs are all standing up right now, and many others, because they're being eyed right now by this Islamist push into the fall. So this means it's not just Afghanistan. That's just a distraction almost. It's the bigger Islamist push throughout the world, which also includes the United States. Now, their narrative is going into September is going to be in regards to January 6th. They're going to try to gin that up as much as they possibly can. Wouldn't be surprised if there are any false flag attacks or plots where they try to reinforce the narrative of people that love the Constitution, Christians, are somehow the threat, the terror threat in the United States. And I'm going to talk about that when we get to the National Front a little bit. So I know many of you are like, wait, wait, there's, and I know we're going to get to that here in a second. But also coming to us from Debka file, Hamid Karzai returns to Kabul. So the Taliban is now trying to have this respectable face. I bet the deal was struck for the Taliban to accept a World Bank, and they came back into power as a result of it. I bet that's it. So let's just keep our eyes on that and see if that actually happens over there. Hamid Karzai is trying to give this respectable face to the Taliban, and yet the Taliban is very clear they're going to implement Sharia law. They have already slaughtered people, gone house to house or going house to house, already slaughtered people for their association with the United States, hung them, cut their arms off. There's multiple reports of people being murdered over there right now because the Taliban is following Sharia law. And if you don't understand the threat, you don't understand the threat, the idea that they are following Sharia law. There's nothing, no Islamic scholar, Sunni or Shia, is going to denigrate the Taliban for following Sharia law. They're just not going to do it. This is part of the theopolitical construct that is Islam. And it's very important to understand that. Now, following on the heels of that and combining that with this IMF push for the special drawing rights of one world currency, World Economic Forum urges companies to fire unvaccinated employees as part of a jobs reset. Remember the Great Reset? As part of a jobs reset, deletes tweet after backlash. Well, of course, it's coming to us from National File. Get your COVID jab or you could face consequences from your employer. Hashtag jobs reset. So what this is an indication of is that everything that's going on right now with COVID and all this is all part of this Great Reset by the globalists and part of the counter states trying to take over and destroy the United States of America. And we're the ones, we are, as patriotic, God-fearing Christian Americans, we're the ones standing in between them and success. All we have to do is stand up and say, no, not anymore. And again, tomorrow, Friday, 5 o'clock, Spokane Arena, it's going to be a march to the Spokane Regional Health District. Already, hundreds and hundreds of people expressing interest in this. So be there tomorrow. Let's stand up. Now, this is also interesting. The New York Times, now I don't normally quote the New York Times, okay, had an article that said Israel, once the model for beating COVID, faces new surge of infections. But wait, I thought they were one of the most vaccinated societies. And so, and this is a New York Times quote, quote, raising questions about the vaccine's efficacy, end quote. So even the New York Times is admitting there is a problem. Wow. You can't make this stuff up. All right. Also, and we're going to move next to the National Front. And I'm going to mix in a little bit of the International Front on this just so we get some flavor here. First of all, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced a 21% increase in supplemental nutritionist, okay, food stamps will rise to $835 a month. This brings up the very real issue and key indicator of inflation. because this $20 billion increase for food stamps is extended through 2025. And this is another expansion of federal support to individuals. This is coming to us from Forward Observer. Also, OPEC has denied the United States' request to expand production, which means gas prices are going to continue to go up. And oh, by the way, secretly in the infrastructure deal, they want to dip into our strategic reserves that Trump built up. Most of you didn't know that. All of this is happening at the same time, and I'm going down to this next one that is, I think, very, very key, that the Federal Reserve is in a no-win scenario right now dealing with the financial crisis or a recession. They either are going to revive asset prices through more buying programs. In other words, the Federal Reserve is going to gobble up more assets, which, by the way, is kind of almost a return to feudalism. Now, if you don't know what that word is, go look it up, feudalism. Or they're going to continue to print currency and allow inflation to go, or they are going to raise interest rates, which would then plunge the economy for sure into a recession. Now, here is the key. In each event, what you have happen is a decrease in asset prices and an increase in daily goods prices. So gasoline going up to $4 a gallon, $5 a gallon, that would be their plan. And food prices, which are already rising. So you have inflation on one side, a devaluation of the currency. That's what inflation is. And then you have a devaluation of assets on the other side. This is called stagflation. It's the worst of all things. And it looks like that's the direction that this is heading right now. Meanwhile, this weird situation happens at the White House today, coming to us from Populist Press. Quote, the revolution starts today. Joe Biden is the distraction plot to take the heat. Or it says revolution starts today. Joe, quote unquote. There you go. Coming from the live stream. Now, it's fascinating that he relates what he's doing with God, then brings up healthcare and a bunch of other things. And this seems like a very conveniently timed deal. But like I've said before on the show, watch for this where they try to reinforce their narrative going into September with it's those patriot Christians. Just watch them try to do this. It's part of their plan. That's what they try to do. Meanwhile, the real networks of communists and jihadists, they're not really investigating with any fervor. And coming to us from Gateway Pundit, progressive anti-audit Democrats took communist-sponsored trips to China and collaborated extensively with the CCP. Multiple prominent Democrats who have been leading the charge against efforts to audit the 2020 election were just exposed for their extensive collaboration with one of the Chinese Communist Party's most influential propaganda groups. Yeah. I'm going to post that one up online. Take a look at it when you get a chance. The Revolver has a great article saying, it's time for the American people to rise up against the globalist American empire. In other words, the globalist cabal. And lastly, on the national front, from the New American, They're going to let in millions of refugees left using Afghan debacle to change America's population. And we talked about this actually earlier in the week, that that's one of the things that they want to do. I mean, clearly this is not make any sense to wide open our borders without properly vetting people. And then yet everybody wants a COVID vaccine passport, right? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Like everybody come across. And then, but anybody that actually lives here, oh, you need a COVID passport now. It just doesn't make sense. It's hypocritical. It's also hypocritical that Twitter says the Taliban can stay on the platform. They come into us from Technocracy News. I mean, you have, again, them, they are setting up an alternate reality. This is a communist tactic. You can read about it in multiple books as part of the dialectic. They have to establish an alternate reality. They try to change the language, and you'll see this. They make a big deal out of news articles changing the language on different things. It's no longer breastfeeding, it's chest feeding, right? And they do these kind of ridiculous contortions of the English language, right? And if you use real words, they try to slam you and shove you into the dirt, because abusive language is abusive power, as Joseph Piper's book talks about. But it's part of creating an alternate reality, because once they create this alternate reality, they can drag people into it, and they can make people essentially conditioned to accept anything. And that's what this is really about, the mask mandates, the vaccine mandates. This is really about conditioning people to accept anything. To accept even the absurd. Oh, it's a 99.5% survival rate, but you need to do this, otherwise watch out. But wait a minute. Haven't over 12,000 people died temporarily associated with the so-called vaccine? Well, no, this is safe, totally safe. Wait a minute, that's an objective data bit. Oh, this is totally safe. And then you have this smashing of people. And the only reason they would do that is if they had an alternate agenda, and that agenda is to try to overthrow this great republic here in the United States of America. And to drive this point home, WorldNet Daily, and also Tucker Carlson had this too, hospitals to patients, decline a vaccine and forget about your organ transplant. This is happening right here in Washington State, University of Washington Medical Center, have dropped a heart transplant patient from their wait list because he declined the experimental COVID vaccines. Again, that is illegal and immoral based on the Nuremberg Code and the Nuremberg trials. So you cannot force somebody to take an experimental treatment. You can't force anybody to take any treatment against their will and then say either take it or die. You can't do that. That is actually what they tried German doctors for after World War II, okay? This has been settled since the 1940s. And it's as if this didn't exist, didn't happen, but it did. So when you're talking to your friends and family, make sure that they understand the implications of all these things and that they're not falling into these traps. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody. It has been praying for us. And if you get a chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page. But I want you also to do something in addition to that. Go to Gab, Matt Shea. It's just at Matt Shea on Gab. Go to Gab, sign up there, follow me on Gab. We need alternate and I would say truthful platforms that are true about free speech. Gab is one. And Andrew Torba has done a fantastic job there. If you get the chance, go to Gab and sign up and follow me on Gab, because I'm going to start posting a lot there as things begin to heat up here. If you have the opportunity as well, we are on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon, and this show is replayed across the entire American Christian Network, Eastern Washington, North Idaho, and Western Montana every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 9 o'clock. And it is my pleasure to introduce today our guest, Josiah Lippincott, who hails from Tulare, California. He entered Hillsdale for the first time in 2012 as an undergraduate studying politics. He hosts the Live and Cot Talk, a weekly radio program on WRFH Radio Free Hillsdale, 101.7 FM. He is a Claremont Institute Publius Fellow and a Republican in the best sense. I love that part. Josiah, it's great to have you on Patriot Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Awesome. Well, I want to start out. I mean, there are so many things happening right now. I want to get your take. I've been asking guests this week about it. Get your take on what happened in Afghanistan and what is going on in the rest of the world that might be flying a little bit under the radar.
Absolutely. So I was a Marine Corps officer. I served for 4 years as an artilleryman. I did not deploy to combat, but I did kind of see the last waves of Marines going out to the Middle East. And I just have to tell you, this disaster, and it is a disaster, it's shocking to see it, but I think it just affirms what so many on the right have increasingly come to see, which is that our military and our entire military-industrial class complex was not able to win this war. It faced strategic and political challenges it didn't know how to overcome. The government that we spent hundreds of billions of dollars propping up completely imploded. Their president fled the country, taking hundreds of millions of dollars with him. This is a just obvious collapse, obvious disaster, and the American people need answers, and we need accountability. This is something I've harped on. We absolutely need, in Congress, a war commission to hold the generals, the politicians, the diplomats, the USAID officials. They all need to be held accountable.
It wasn't like they didn't have the intelligence either. You know what I mean? This was almost scripted, which is even more disgusting in my mind. I served in Iraq. I served in Bosnia as well. Thank you for your service. We have this group of people that so blithely throw away American lives, even though they were briefed. They knew better. They did it anyway. And that's I guess, what is so hard for, I think, a lot of veterans that – you know, that this happened. I think many of us believed we should have gone in and then gone back home, and that it was time to go home, but it could have been done so differently than it was. And the fact that it was on the 20th anniversary of 9/11 just adds insult to injury.
Yeah, I don't see any other way to view this other than as a ritual humiliation for all Americans. You know, when I joined, I believed, I really thought, I'm going to go help defend America from foreign threats. And over time, what I began to see was that the real threat is from an establishment that doesn't understand the limits of military power. It doesn't understand the limits of political power. We were never going to turn Afghanistan into a democratic Switzerland-like regime. That was never going to happen. We could have, after 9/11, found Osama bin Laden, held him accountable, and then recognized the real source of those terror attacks was the fact that we let in all 19 of the hijackers on 9/11 came into America legally. 15 of them were Saudis. Saudi Arabia is supposedly our ally. All of the things that we were told, just mendacity and lying all the way down. It is so upsetting to see this. And again, to someone who's a fellow veteran, there has to be accountability. There just has to be.
There absolutely does. I'm hopeful, but it seems like they always get away with it. I am hopeful because I think a lot of people are waking up here in America. I think that Americans are on the move right now. I think they're tired of the lies, but it seems like these people always get away with it. And so I hear things like the Durham report, you know, maybe doing grand jury investigations now and all this. What's your take on that? I mean, is there really a chance for there to be accountability for these people that just seem to float away in the mist with their $100 million foundation or whatever and never really face the music for their horrible decisions that have cost so many lives and hurt so many families?
Well, I would say, you know, again, I go back to the Afghanistan War Commission. Okay, Congress has the power to subpoena people. It can declassify documents, allegedly, or it can at least put up a fight. So there are means. The means are out there. The question of will they be used, okay, that's more complicated. And it's complicated because our elites don't want answers, and they're just fine scratching each other's back till the cows come home. So accountability will come from individuals who are willing to take a stand in a really public way. Donald Trump did that for 4 years. He really empowered the people to fight the establishment. But you can see he was opposed. And so what I would say is we need more Donald Trumps. We need Donald Trump himself to come back. We need him to take a stand. But I would say a lot of this, and this goes back to an article I wrote for the American Mind, Americans on a day-to-day level, in a day-to-day way, need to use social media and the tools at their fingertips to hold leaders accountable and at least to drive the narrative. And that will make it more possible that we get accountability in the long run.
I agree. And I think, too, that Americans rising up at the local level necessarily is going to translate into accountability later, but we actually have to stand up right now. And I think that this is where the mask issue comes in. Anybody that has any experience with biowarfare or even just studying it understands that a mask cannot stop a virus. It's like a chain link fence trying to stop a mosquito. I think everybody understands that. So then what is this really about? And I just kind of view masks as almost the opportunity to rally people at the local level to stand up and say enough is enough, and then begin that transformation that needs to happen at the local level, which will then eventually translate to transformation at the federal level. What is your take on the mask issue, and what are you seeing around the country? What are you hearing from other people?
Yeah, masks. Perfect. So I'd start off by saying that culture is downstream from politics.
Amen.
And what do I mean by that? If you have political power, you shape the culture. And the mask issue is the most obvious and most visible sign of something that I've called the biomedical security state. It's this regime that strips away your rights as a citizen and acts on you merely as a body. It views you as a biohazard fundamentally. Before it views you as a citizen, before it views you as a man or a woman, you're simply a vector for disease. And so on the mask issue, we absolutely, as American patriots, have to fight at the local level to get these mandates revoked, because so many of them were put into place without the consent of any kind of legislative body. And that's unacceptable. America is a land in which we are governed by the consent of the governed. Right? It's consent, the idea that you have a say in your own regime, in the rules and the laws that are made. And I think a big part of resisting the biomedical security state comes down to resisting mandatory vaccination, both in the military and in the private sector. There just is no way. You look at these big businesses, they have so much power over our lives. We cannot let the Biden administration use its Wall Street allies to make policy for the United States. That's unacceptable for conservatives. We just can't allow that to happen.
So how do we fight back at the local level? What do you think is the most effective route at fighting back against these mask mandates? And, you know, it's so interesting, too, because when you confront them with real questions, they don't have any answers to it, right? You know, they have talking points, but they don't have any true, deep answers to it. They're just kind of following orders. Even independently elected city council people and independently elected county commissioners across this country that have the power to just say no, they just seem to follow orders. So what do you think is an effective strategy to combat this and turn it around, especially when there's such weak-kneed so-called Republicans out there?
I mean, winning elections, that's a pretty obvious one. Run on these issues. Run on these issues in your community for any kind of office, and then use that to drive the narrative. But I think another really effective tool is mockery and humor. I mean, this is ridiculous. We are 18 months into this clown show, and it's a circus. The CDC can't figure out what it's doing. It's just these people be clown themselves constantly, and I think they want to fancy themselves as these experts. They're so smart. They know everything. It is so painful for them when they just get mocked relentlessly, especially on social media. It's just, it's so easy to cyberbully America's elite class and to troll them. And I think it's funny. It's you know, so much of our comedy today, the comedy shows are unfunny. They're boring. They're ideological. All of the funniest people are on the right, and they're these meme makers, and they're just mocking this establishment. And I think that's awesome. And it's a really effective tool that everyone has access to all the time.
Why don't more people use it? I think, you know, this is, you know, why don't more people use it? I completely agree with you. This is something we need to be doing every chance we get, mocking the media. I love when the media tries to ambush me on a sidewalk somewhere and you start asking them questions that they can't answer and they don't know what to do with it. And you can film them looking dumbfounded, right? I think you're right. We need to do more of it, but I think a lot of Americans don't. And I don't know if it's cowardice or apathy. How do we break through that? Because there are a lot of Americans that are standing up, but there's still some that are sitting on the couch right now.
Well, it's a spiritual question. It's just totally a spiritual question. You got to get in the place. You got to get your mind right. And, you know, the best advice I can give people is hit the gym, go outside, lift weights, stop eating food that's poisonous for you. That will degrade your spirit, your soul, your all those things are connected to your body and your health. And I mean that in the real sense, not the fake public health sense. I mean the real way, which is to strengthen your body and your mind, and then you'll be more likely to push back.
So you had written an article a while ago that really stood out to me, and it's Smash the Oligarchy, recognizing what we're coming against in this country. How do we come against that? Because I think a lot of Americans too will think, you know, either my vote doesn't count, I shouldn't participate, which is an awful excuse. Yeah. Or they'll say, what can we do against such money? They have trillions, we have millions. What can we possibly do? And that, again, is a very defeatist attitude that's un-American, in my opinion. Very un-American attitude. How do we smash the oligarchy?
I think it 100% comes down to a recognition of the power that we have. The American middle class actually possesses the majority of the wealth in the country. And it's a lot. It's the golden goose of the American economy is that, you know, the household, whether one income, two incomes, it's pulling $90,000 to $250,000. The small business owner, that's the bedrock of the economy, and it's the bedrock of the American political order. Are those people that solid middle class? And so that middle class has numbers. It has resources. What it needs is organization. And so we can absolutely change policy. You know, that piece I wrote on, you know, smashing the oligarchy, what I recommended there was to say, okay, why is it that the government only harasses conservatives? Absolutely. Everyone associated with Jeffrey Epstein should have grand jury, you know, an investigation, legal probes. I mean, out the yin-yang. Anyone who visited Epstein's island is automatically suspect. Bill Clinton should be under investigation all the time. There's just so much. It's like, where is the money coming from? These institutions just pouring cash into his foundation, giving him money for these speeches. And by the way, what about all the people whose names aren't in the media? Those people too. There should just be relentless pressure from conservatives and from politicians. I think it's just totally fertile ground that has yet to be even touched. And there's a lot of power there. And I think it's just a matter of time before someone starts running on these issues. And may the day come quickly.
So let's shift gears a little bit. Josiah, we have a tendency to criticize constantly, you know, the Obama regime, the pretender in the White House. Now, what would our solutions be? So what should our U.S., from a Christian perspective, what should our U.S. foreign policy actually be? Because I think Trump started to touch on the pulse of real Americans during his administration. And I think Americans were proud to be Americans again. I remember that as a kid with Ronald Reagan. I was proud to be an American again. This is a very interesting, it's both kind of a little bit emotional, but it really is historical. We seem to have forgotten history as Americans and not learned lessons like we learned the hard way in Vietnam. And some of this stuff has happened again when it really shouldn't have. So what should our foreign policy be for this country? What would our solutions be if Trump is back in power?
Absolutely. And I would say this. I am an America First patriot. Donald Amen. Trump brought that back. It was awesome. Like, God bless Donald Trump for taking on the establishment. I want him back. Just, he had the good instincts. The bigger strategy. We need to secure the border, 100%. 70,000 Americans per year overdose on opioids, many of which come from Canada and Mexico and China. We can 100% stem the flow of those drugs into America through effective border security. That's my first foreign policy strategy right there. Deport people who overstay their visas, secure the border, raise wages for the middle class. The next thing is stay out of stupid wars. And a stupid war is one that doesn't have a clear objective and that can't be solved with the firepower and the tools we have available. No amount of ordnance, bombs, or machine gun fire is going to turn Afghanistan into a democracy. And it's been clear, big state-based powers have not been able to defeat insurgencies post-1945. The French couldn't do it in Algeria. The USSR couldn't do it in Afghanistan. We couldn't do it in Vietnam. The British couldn't do it in Malaysia. And the British couldn't do it in Palestine against the Jewish groups who were fighting for independence. Over and over again, we've seen that these insurgent movements, just they can't be put down in the way that we're used to fighting wars. And on the other hand, the nuclear powers don't want to wage conventional war because they have these super weapons that can wipe out millions of people at a time. So what is becoming increasingly clear is we are spending way too much money on weapon systems that don't produce victory. We're spending hundreds of billions of dollars to have large fleets of tanks, which aren't effective at defeating IEDs, and they're not being used to wage the kind of conflicts that they were designed for. So I would say we have an opportunity to cut the military budget without hurting national security, but only if we pull out of these wars that just aren't going anywhere. We have troops all over the planet, and the question becomes, what are they even able to do? What are 20,000 Marines on Okinawa able to do against 2 million PLA troops in China? And the answer is not much. And that's why we as Americans need to stress border security, nuclear deterrence, and then statecraft. We have to get good at being able to use non-military means to get the kind of outcomes that we want. And that's directly tied into, you know, if you'll just allow me real quick, China took American jobs with the help of Wall Street. We got to get those jobs back. And you don't do that necessarily with the barrel of a gun. You do that with factories and you do that with policy. So, you know, absolutely. Immigration, trade, and war. Those are the three big things that our foreign policy needs to concentrate on and to just secure America and to make life better for the American middle class.
I think one of Trump's weaknesses was that he didn't realize personnel was policy, and he allowed a lot of people around him that were giving him horrific advice, and he was trying to sift through it all the time. His instincts were initially right, and then people would talk him out of the right thing sometimes. Part of this, too, I think, is bringing in as advisors people who have actually been on the ground, and in addition to that, Christian missionaries, which should be part of anything that is going overseas. We should be leading with the gospel of Jesus Christ and walking out the kingdom wherever we're going. And Ronald Reagan understood that. He actually worked with a pope to help do that. The CIA actually ran Bibles, for goodness sakes. What people are like, oh, that's radical. I can't believe you do that. But it worked then. It brought peace to the vast majority of the globe, or at least a stalemate in places where there was fighting. Why can't we do that again? And who should be a part of this going forward, in your opinion?
Absolutely. you know, the Christ-centered foreign policy is one that prioritizes self-defense, but also charity and peace. Blessed are those who bring peace. You know, and it's like, that should be the priority. And you're saying, you know, the people who should be in charge are ones with experience. You know, Joe Kent running for Congress out there in Washington 3, that's a guy who has really good instincts on a lot of foreign policy stuff. Really like what I've seen out of him. You know, he lost his wife very tragically in Syria. And you can just tell he had 11 deployments with special forces units into Iraq and Afghanistan. That's a guy who's been touched by war, who I think has really good things to say, and who understands in large part what America First means. And that's just, I want to see that guy get in Congress, and I want to see him lead the Afghanistan War Commission. I think that would be awesome for America. And, you know, any one of your listeners out there who are in his district, I just absolutely encourage you to support that guy running against the Rhino, Jimmy Butler Herrera. So, you know, again, that's a great figure right there.
I completely agree with you that he is fantastic. And I think a model of what a real politician, I detest that term, a real statesman should look like, didn't want to be there, but is doing it for the sake of posterity and for the right reasons, not going there to get rich, just going there to serve his country and ensure the Republic lasts for another generation. In the last couple minutes that we have left, Josiah, if you could speak directly to the younger generation that seems to be more concerned about their own self-pleasure than they do really the country in some respects. But I've seen a lot of young people that have turned and they want to know the truth. They just don't know where to look. What would your message be to them tonight?
You know, my message is that they should focus on getting their mind, body, and soul right. And that means, you know, if you're a young man, you should long for adventure. You should strengthen your body. You should make friends. It's just imperative. Make solid friends and unify yourselves around principles and ideas and a sense of justice and purpose. And, you know, if it's in your church, if it's in your community, especially for young men, get integrated. Get integrated. You know, you can do a lot more than you think you can. You have so much opportunity right now to make a difference, and you can do that. And I have been immensely blessed to be in the community where I am now and with the friends that I have. And I would say, especially for young women, I think just absolutely getting away from a media culture that hates you and wants to destroy your possibility of having a healthy family life. There's just so much out there designed to psyop young women into just absolutely destroying themselves. And I absolutely want to encourage young women, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. You can liberate yourself. You can absolutely make a difference in your community. And, you know, I think a big part of this for, you know, what are baby steps? Get out of debt. Become independent. Learn how to basically survive for yourself. Learn how to become the kind of person that other people can rely on. And then just start, whether it's working out in the gym, whether it's financial independence, reading great books, making friends, all of those things will empower young people to make a real difference and help save their country. And I think that's just absolutely what the priority should be right now.
Josiah, where can people go to find out more information about you and read your articles?
Absolutely. I write for American Greatness, American Mind, The Federalist, American Conservative, Washington Examiner. If you can follow me on Twitter at @JLippincott_. I try and tweet funny stuff that I see, information regarding current events, lots of intellectual exercises, stuff you wouldn't normally see. So social media and then those platforms I just listed are the place to find me. Absolutely.
Awesome. Josiah, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Really appreciate you, man. Well, I'd love to have you back on again. Keep up the fight.
Awesome. Yep, absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Josiah Lippincott, who is a veteran, but also has been writing extensively about what we should actually be doing actively as Americans to defend this great republic. And again, it's not a, this isn't something you can just do overnight. It's something that needs to become a lifestyle. Physical exercise becoming a lifestyle. And we all slip into these patterns where we suddenly don't do that anymore. I've been guilty of that too. But you have to make time to do it so that you are not becoming a casualty just simply because you're buying into the busyness of the culture around. Because a lot of times it is psychological to put all this pressure on you. You got to be doing this all the time, all the time, all the time, when it's really not true. One of the greatest things that I ever did at the leading of Holy Spirit was to turn off the television set. Now, I still watch movies occasionally, but turn off the television set. It was amazing. And dive into the Word. Get back into prayer and fasting. And fasting is something in America, it's like anathema sometimes to people because they don't want to not eat. But I'm telling you, it gets you out of the way so you can hear from the Lord clearly. Another thing too, forgiving those around you that have wronged you. Really forgiving them and blessing them on top of it. So there's that freedom there. And as you grow in the Lord, as he is present in your life, in the wake of his presence, all the other things that you want to see change will change. It's just want Jesus. And if we put Jesus back at the center of our country, the only way that's going to happen is if he's back at the center of our lives. This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.